your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. To the chorus. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend.
don't. Oh, I praise, 'cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound,
more than a sound.
My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful opportunity once again to present ourselves before you. Thank you for your word. Your word that is breathed into us. Your word that makes us living souls. Your word that causes us to become speaking spirits. Tonight we ask, O God, that you will help us stay aligned with your perfected will. Help us to always acknowledge that you are sovereign and that you reign. Thank you, Lord, that our praise is what our enemies drown in. We give you praise, and our Jericho walls collapse. We give you praise, and we walk on water. We give you praise, and we see the multiplication of our little becoming much. Blessed be your holy name, Father, for grace that is sufficient. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to have you here this evening. And I have a word for us from the Lord. And tonight, I want us to revisit a passage of scripture that we are all very familiar with. The Lord spoke to me this evening that that's what he wants to talk about. So I'm here ready to hear what he will say to us. Amen? Last Sunday evening, we came together at this time and we heard the word of the Lord, but we came back a few hours later, just before 12, to spend some time praying. And as we talked about the things that we're going to pray about, our focus was primarily on the midnight, because God called for a midnight prayer time. And so I spent some time talking with us about the things that happen at midnight. We looked at Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts 16 and verse 25. There it says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And we talked about the fact that at midnight, chains fall off. At midnight, those that are held in prison hear us. But what do they hear? Do they hear moaning and crying? No, for the case of Paul and Silas, what they heard was Paul and Silas praying and singing praises unto God. And when they began to sing and to praise God, the Bible says the foundations of the prison were shaken. Praise the Lord. The foundations of the prisons. Shaken. And as they shook, their chains fell off. Then we talked about, actually, let me, the Lord is saying something to me that I need to go to. Take me to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. This seems to be out of the way, but the Lord is bringing me here, so I better go with him. He says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he had hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Now, watch this. Something's about to change, and this is powerful. He says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourned for his mother. But in mine adversary they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and seized not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long would thou look on, rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, from the lions? I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. I want you to see the factor of praise. It says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye had seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in mine heart. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy. Watch this. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Enemies had put Paul and Silas in prison. They thought, we've got him this time. But the response of Paul and Silas was praying and praising God. Now, Psalm 18 will tell us something. In Psalm 18, the psalmist talks about God rising up and everything shaking. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This is all praise to God. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Notice, he's in the temple. And when God heard, he says, then the earth, what? Shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was what? Wrath. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Psalm 33. And verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He laid up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. And he commanded, and it stood fast. Somebody shout hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you have spoken, and by the word of your speech, what you have spoken is done. And by the word of your command, we call that which you have spoken to abide, to stay on. Let it be a new season and a new day for your people, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to see yes, it was the praise of Paul and Silas that caused everything to start shaking. But there was another flip side. And Psalm 18 tells us what our flip side is. God was angry. How dare you put my people? I sent this man to come to Macedonia. I gave him a vision that this is what he's supposed to do. And you came there to arrest him and put him in prison. How dare you? Trying to make my word a lie. That's what God got moving. Because Paul and Silas and his team were going out, And the Holy Spirit started blocking them, says, you can't go there. You can't go. You can't go. You can't go. You can't go there. Finally, he gets a vision. A man in Macedonia calling out and says, come help us. And he goes there and he meets the spirit of Python that was being carried by a young girl that was a soothsayer, a person that was doing divination, speaking what seemed like truth, but it was a lie. And he rebuked that spirit. And the spirit of Python came out of that young girl, and the business of these practitioners of evil collapsed. And they're so upset, they arrest him and they throw him in prison. And here he is praying and praising God. And God says, how dare you? How dare you? God moved and everything shook. Chains falling off. Now the jailer is saying, oh my, I'm dead. Paul says, oh, don't go anywhere. Yes, all the prison doors are open, but we're still here. And he cries out, what must I do to be saved? He says, you got to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what. And his jailer gets saved and takes him out of that prison. And he tried to send him out. He said, not that fast. I'm a Roman citizen, and you guys have been maltreating me. Not only am I of God, I'm a Roman citizen, and you maltreated me. Oh, somebody's head is going to roll on this. So Paul and Silas were out. It was at the midnight hour. God is demanding your freedom, your deliverance, your peace. He's demanding and standing up against whoever and whatever is trying to block his vision and purpose for your life. Whatever is trying to make God a liar, God is going to go after it with a big stick. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's no more fooling around. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. He says, an horse is a vain thing. When we're talking about deliverance, we're not talking about what you know in the natural. He says, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he, God, deliver any by his great strength, or the horse by his great strength, rather. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Where's your hope tonight? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. I've mentioned to you there are two things that if you don't know anything else to pray, that you pray this: Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. If you don't know anything else to pray, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help. Thank God Peter remembered the help part when he was sinking, because he looked around and saw the storm and saw the wind. He got scared, but he'd asked the Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And the Lord says, come. And he's walking on the water, the stormy waters. And when he considered all the issues around him, and watch this, those issues were present when he asked the Lord, if that's you, ask me to come. What made him think now that the storm that he just overcame by obeying the call of the Word of God now has extra power? The enemy of your soul does not have more. He just wants to convince you that he is more. All the noise and all the blast and all of that is all hot air. It's nonsense. He's just making a lot of noise. The enemy can be so flamboyant that he overwhelms your senses. But you do not move by what you see in the natural, you move by the Spirit of God. Amen? That you must finalize in your spirit. Years ago, in the beginnings of our use of computers, you write a program. I guess you still do it now, but most of it is already written for you, coded for you, so it's easier. But you used to finalize. Remember that? You used to finalize to save everything. Well, you got to finalize to secure your position. And how you finalize is putting your faith and your trust in what is going to glorify God. That's how. You do that before you ever go into any crisis. You do that before you ever see any problem. You just do that. You finalize. You make a decision. Like the Hebrew boys. We're not about to serve whatever idol you're placing out there, whatever statue. No, we're not doing that. Our God is going to save us, and if he doesn't, we're still not. That's what you do. I made a decision. What decision have you made? Because when you make a decision for the Lord, you go the extra mile. The Word of God says to us, and sometimes we don't get it all. It says to us, if somebody comes and asks you for your shirt, give him your coat also. He says, if he asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Take the decision away from the oppressor. But it's not just taking the decision away from the oppressor. God is saying, hey, When I ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. When I ask you for your shirt, give me your coat also. He's referencing that because God will never ask you for anything that He Himself will not do. And guess what? When you ask God for a shirt, God says, I'll give you the coat also. I'm going to go the extra mile for you. And God is bringing us through the pathway of the extra mile. Because, are you listening? That is going to be your saving grace. In the days that we come into, you have to have the extra. Did you hear what I said? You've got to get and have the extra. And so the Lord illustrates that particular point of having the extra in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, He tells us the story that we're all very familiar with. It's the story of the 10 virgins. In this story of the 10 virgins, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. I want you to note that. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. In essence, they had received an invitation. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were what? Wise. And five were what? Foolish. The Lord says, I will liken a wise man to the man who comes, hears my word, and does it. He says, a foolish person comes, hears my words, but doesn't do it. See the difference? The wise come, they hear, they do. The foolish come, they hear, they don't do. So being here, you came. Being here, you hear. The difference between the wise and the foolish is in the doing. It's in the obedience to doing what God's word says. Being scripture smart, because you know your chapters and your verses, a Christian does not make. Doing what you know, a Christian makes. He says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. No extra. No what? Extra. He starts out with the foolish. See, this is the foolish folks, the people that don't do. They just take what is necessary, what is sufficient for them. I'm glad I got invited. Look at my ticket. But do you have something for the bridegroom? Oh, I'm a member of Glory and Peace Church. What do you do here? You just come here, tell me something good. I want my spirit to be fed. Hallelujah. Is that it? Is that all? What about you bringing your extra, taking something with you? Says a foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the wise took oil in what? Their vessels. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they had the lamps, they had vessels, and they filled those vessels with oil. They had the extra. Did you get that? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. We know that the God who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And while they were sleeping, the Bible says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. There was an announcement. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They all heard it. They all slept. But I want you to notice something. While they all slept, they were all on an equal playing field. The only difference was what they did before they slept. The only difference between the wise and the foolish was what they did before what? They slept. There's a time where you get wearied and you're tired and you've been waiting for so long. The difference between you and those that quit and cannot get back up fully is what you did before the sleep came on. And what the Lord is saying to you and I today is this: fill your vessels. Be a doer of the work. Be engaged. Be involved. He says, then all those virgins, all of them arose. All of them trimmed their lamps. They cut off the bad part of the wick that was smoking. You know, you can create smokes that are not holy smokes. They cut off whatever it is that was creating the unholy smoke that was hurting their eyes. They cut it, trimmed their lamps so that their lamps can burn better. The wise and the foolish trimmed. And the foolish said unto the wise, because while they were trimming, instead of their lamps producing more light, it was producing more smoke. There was nothing. The wick was getting consumed. It is the oil that is coming through that wick that is supposed to be consumed. The wick is not supposed to burn. Oh, God help me. The wick is not supposed to burn. It's supposed to be at rest. The oil is supposed to be doing all the work. And this is how you're going to know that you are in the right spot, that you are working and not burning out. Let me say it again. This is how you're going to know whether you are burning with the oil or you are burning your wick. If you are doing whatever it is that you're doing in the flesh, You're going to get burnt up. I'm burnt out. But if you're doing what you're doing by the Spirit, you get refreshed. It's not that you don't get tired. It's not like part of the week is not burnt, but it is not the primary thing, because it is not the wick that is giving the light. It is the oil that is doing it. Did you get that? It's the oil. So my question then is, what are you doing to get the oil in your life? Because you have, it says, they carried the lamp, but they had the vessels filled with oil. Thy word is what? A lamp. They're carrying the word, but is you're busy saying the word, but is the oil of the Holy Spirit operational in you? I can hear you yapping John 3:16, but what about the Spirit of God? I'm about to tell you something. I was listening to some of our broadcasts, and they are always anointed. In fact, the way I start my day is with the broadcast. I get ministered to by it. While I'm on a treadmill, I'm listening to the broadcast. I'm praising the Lord and worshiping God. I'm receiving prophetic words for people. So I was listening to the broadcast. Actually, this happened, was it yesterday or the day before? Yesterday, at about 12 o'clock at night, I was listening. I didn't feel any unction. It didn't feel like any anointing. I listened to another one. It's like, it's nothing. But it was not because there was nothing. God was trying to show me something. And I cried out to the Lord. I said to the Lord, Father, don't let me ever be a preacher of your word without the anointing. I have to have the anointing. I don't want to be a talking head. There's got to be the anointing. So I began to cry out to God. I said, God, let your Spirit never be lifted off of my life, that I'm just some guy talking. Some guy talking. And you hear it, but you are not caught in attention, because the Holy Word of God should capture your attention. When a man of God is speaking, everything inside of you starts ringing on the inside. You are either getting excited because something good is being said, or you are getting upset because somebody just stomped on your feet. Say, out, out. But a good ouch. No man of God should be speaking and you can't grasp whatever it is that they said. This is not oration, being an orator. You got to have the anointing. And that anointing comes because there's oil in your vessel. And so it doesn't matter if you have to speak 20 times in a day, all 20 times you're going to be alive in God. Because you're empowered by something that is beyond you. You might be the wick in the lamp, but you've got to have the oil. So they said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Give us of your oil, because when there's no oil, there is no burning to give light. You got to have the oil. And when you've got the oil of the Spirit of God, you have the power. Are we together? Give us of your oil. And the wise answered, saying, not so. Forget that. Sharing, there's no sharing in this one. Lest there be not enough for us and you. There comes a point when I got to save me. I love you, but every man for themselves now. You say, has it come to that? It's coming there. You have to be engaged now. Not tomorrow, now. This is not playing games. You got to be serious with your faith. Stop looking at other people, what they are doing or not doing. You focus on your lane. You make sure that you are fully engaged with God. Because God, is only going to locate true worshipers. If you miss the messages on what worship is, please, I encourage you, go find it and listen to it. It's just maybe about 2 months ago that I preached that whole series on worship, true worship and fake worship. You don't want the fake worship. You want the true worship. And the true worship is about obedience to God. Obedience. Following the instruction, doing what God said, and not allowing anybody else to talk you out of it. You focus on what God said, you stick with it, that's how you continue. Because there are many voices, child of God, there are many voices, and some of the voices are so sly. They are so sly. They sound like God, but they are not God. I don't care who it is. You know, the Bible talks about a young prophet that was given an instruction to go to a particular area of Israel. I don't recall right now the name of the place. But anyway, God told him, he said, when you go, don't eat where you are going to. Just keep on going. Do my thing and keep on going. And when he got there and he started prophesying, the king came against him, and as he stretched his hand, the king's hand froze. Starts begging, okay, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. The king is crying. Prophet says, okay, it's fine. His hand goes back, and he heads out, And an old prophet came to town, and his son Sulim said, "Wow, you should see the fireworks that happened today. The king was humbled." What happened? There was this prophet that came, and he was preaching and giving the word, and the king tried to attack him, and the guy froze. His hand withered right there. King's eyes begging. Man set him free, and old prophet says, "Where is he now? Where is he?" "Oh, he left. He didn't stay." "What do you mean he didn't stay? You didn't bring him to our house so that he can eat?" "Oh, no." The guy says, "You know, he's not going to eat. God gave him an instruction. He can't stay here in town. He's gone." And the word of the Lord says, "Don't go back the way you came. Just keep on going." So the old prophet saddled his horse, went looking for this prophet, finds him, and he says to him, "Wow, I heard about what you did. That was amazing. You have fulfilled the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to have young men like you. Huh? In our times, we used to do it, but everything fell apart, and now I see there is hope. There is hope. Come on, my friend. Come, let's go back. Let's go eat. You've done your deed." And the young prophet, filled with pride about what he has done and the accolades from this elder statesman, is going, "Hercules, Hercules, Hercules." He goes back with the old prophet. And the Bible says that as they sat at the table, to eat, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet, the old prophet now, that brought him back. And what does he say? And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast," what? "Disobeyed the mouth of the Lord." As thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord. Notice, he didn't even say, "as thou hast disobeyed the word from the mouth of the Lord." He says, "you disobeyed the mouth." You disobeyed the mouth. Let me not even go there, because I'm going to keep you here for another hour. "And hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee," because you've not done that, "but camest back." Notice, it is the old prophet who told him to come back that is prophesying now. He says, "You came back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did not say to thee." God did not tell you, "Eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers." You dead meat. That's when I want to cry out and say, "But prophet, you told me." Well, was I the one who gave you the instruction? Did it come out of my mouth? It came out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why every one of us must listen to what God said. I don't care who it is. What did I just say? I don't care who it is. I don't care whether you're my father, you're my mother, my uncle, my pastor, my whatever it is that you are the Pope, I don't care. The Bible says if an angel, even an angel comes and gives you another word that is not from the word of the Lord, let that angel be accursed. Let everything about that thing die. You've got to know what it is that you are about. You've got to have a personal relationship with God and check out what the Word of God is saying. Eternity is too long to spend in the wrong place. You've got to connect. Well, prophet so-and-so said this. Well, did God say it? Did God say it? Did you hear God say it to you? That's why you have to connect with God and have access to hearing the words of his mouth. That when God opens his mouth, I say when God opens his mouth, even without him saying anything, when his breath comes out of that mouth, it better go inside of you. Well, so-and-so has been in the church for so long, and they told me this, and I have no reason not to believe them. Did you go talk to God and find out what God has to say about the matter? What did God say? What does this word say? How did God say, I have to handle issues? You jumping around listening to garbage. You don't want to fall into the hands of God. It came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he'd drunk that he saddled for him. That prophet that just gave that word, saddled for him the ass to wait for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him. By the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. So look at how strange this is. The guy is dead now. The lion is staying there. The ass is staying there. And the lion did not eat the ass. You will think, the guy is dead. Say, prophet, I cannot touch them. Let me chow down on the ass. Didn't touch any of them. Just stayed there. You got to have oil in your lamp. If this were a sermon and somebody was grading the sermon, they might give me an F. Say, you are talking about this, you talked about that, and you talked about that, but I'm not preaching a sermon, I'm bringing a message of the Lord. So it doesn't have to be all fancy. You know, it is not the wrapper and the ribbons that make the present. If you're looking for fancy ribbon, fancy wrapper, all put together, and you might open that gift box, and I'm going to be very gross right now. Block your ears if you don't want to hear my grossness. All you find in that box is poop. You got it? You want the life of God. We cannot share our oil with you. or there's not going to be enough for you and for us. And the Bible says, the bridegroom came, and the wise one got in. The bridegroom came, and the wise one got in. Now, this is the point what put in place. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. Yes? Okay. So there is a category that has been put in place here. Because the five wise virgins could not possibly be the bride. They were just invited to the party. The Bible says that those foolish ones went to go buy. They finally got it. We've got to get some oil. He says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. While they went to buy. Now they're trying to get all involved now. But while they were going to get their hearts and their minds and everything resettled properly, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, and they, say it with me, and they that were ready. Say it again, and they that were ready. Third time, and they that were ready. Went him, with him to the marriage. When the trumpet blast goes off, it's only those that are ready that will be caught up. You say, Pastor, are you saying every Christian is not going to be caught up? That's what you just heard me say. Only people that are ready. Did you hear that? Only people that are what? Ready are going to be delivered from the hour of temptation. Only ready people. The people that are not ready, they're going to be in that situation. The Bible says, and the door was shut. Now, so that you don't face the danger of being one that is not ready, you better do the extra. What is the extra? Be the bride that has no spots of blemish. If you're playing it by defense, you might have an invitation, but you will not be the bride. I know that is not sitting well with some people right now, but I could care less. Because I want to be the bride. Yeah. Amen? Guess what? The bride was already inside. The bride was already inside. You didn't get that? The bride was already inside the house. The virgins were the ones waiting on the outside. You got to be on the inside. So the prayer that I want you to pray, and the prayer I'm going to pray for myself every day, is, Lord, help me to be on the inside. I don't want to be the wise or foolish versions. I want to go past wise or foolish. I want to be on the inside, waiting for my bridegroom. The bride was waiting. The virgins were waiting. But where were they waiting? The one bride was waiting on the inside of the house. And the others were waiting on the outside. for the door to be open. I don't need any door open. I want to be on the inside. Guess what? Are you ready for this? Jesus, while the door was shut and the disciples and the apostles were on the inside of the house, did not need a door to be opened. He just stepped inside. Those that step inside are in the house are those who are taking the word of God literally and saying, this is the promise of God for me. I want to be on the inside. Will you pray that prayer? Rise with me. Say with me, Father, I've heard your word, and I understand that there are wise and foolish virgins. Your word is clear. But Lord, oh God, I also understand that the bride is on the inside of the house. I want to be on the inside. So I ask, oh God, make me spot and blemish free. No wrinkles, no spots, no blemishes. I want to be the bride, not just a virgin. I want to be the bride that you take into the secret place. Thank you, Father, for the grace to be married to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to thank God for the privilege accorded me once again to bring the word of the Lord to you. It's always an honor to be able to speak the word, whether it's here or somewhere else. And as I have said many times before, there are times when I and Mama will be here. There are times when I may not be here or Mama may not be here. But I assure you that wherever it is that we are busy doing the work of the Lord. And I encourage you to faithfully do the work of the Lord. Commit yourself to the service of the Lord. And don't let anything deter you from following the heartbeat of God for your life. That's of utmost importance. You know, I see people, especially during the summer, so many people are going to be married this summer. But many months ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was an engagement, and they set a date. And it's always so many days ahead. But one day, the day comes, and Miss So-and-so becomes Mrs. So-and-so. That's a name change. And it's all a new day. It happens, you wake up, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go to sleep, and the circle of life continues until the D-Day. And then everything changes. Do you know that every day we are coming to church, every time we come to church. We're looking for the day that Jesus will come. And one day, without warning, it's going to happen. Just like that, it's just going to happen. Maybe it doesn't happen that way. Every day you wake up, and one day you go to sleep and you don't wake up. Your eternity continues. So the key is to be ready, because he says he's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know when, but live like the next breath is your last. Live life like the next step will not be in this realm. You're caught up because of the sound of the trumpet. Live. Determined. Forgive. Even before the sin or trespass against you, forgive. You don't have the time to waste with carrying other people's problems. Just let it go. We capish? Oh, I'm so angry about this. Forget that. Come on. Is that how you want Jesus to come meet you? With the blemish of anger and unforgiveness? Let it go. None of it matters. Everything in here is just stuff. Nobody's taking anything from here. Amen. The rapture comes and says, hey, I need to get my earring. It's not going to happen. So don't kill yourself about the earring. No, I got to wear the nice suit. He kicked out somebody that came into the party with the wrong suit. You're not taking anything from here, brother. Stop holding on to it. Yes. See some dead guy with holding on to his cash. Nobody can come. If the thief wants to come get that cash, they'll just pry your finger. If you hold it too tight, they break. they'll break everything and take whatever it is they want to take. That's what you want to live your life and die for? Come on, excuse me, please forget that. Amen. That was for somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. So, well, let's honor God. At this time, let's take this moment to give unto the Lord. Release your seed, and as you release it, you say, Father, speak over my seed. Multiply my seed sown. He knows how to, you know, he is the God who will give you the power to get wealth. He will show you what you need to do. Amen? He'll create a lane for you that will bring resources into your life. Just trust him all the way. Hallelujah. And every time you hear the word of God, make that commitment that you will always give. It doesn't matter where I am. I have a minimum. That I give to the Lord. I must give that minimum. It's a commitment. I say, Lord, as long as you give it to me, it's yours. And you know what? The Lord has a funny way of making me meet it. I have never missed it. Never. Never. It's not based on my income. It's based on my connection by faith. God has a way. He releases it. And then he will say, I want more. I said, how much do you want? He tells me, I said, do I have it? He said, I'm asking you for it. You must have it. And I look, it is there. So I give it. Just release it. I will never be broke, even for a second in my life. Because God, I've connected and partnered with him and say, carry me the go. That's a Nigerian song. I heard it, I laughed. Oh, that's this Nigerian. They know how to make up songs. Let God carry you. That's a word for somebody. Let God carry you. I'm looking at you right now. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace accorded us today, and so, what an honor to hear you speak to us. Thank you for the capacity to hear, to understand, to comprehend, to participate in the things of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, and because you love us, you chastise us. Thank you, Father, that you are rebuking the devourer for our sakes. You're making it possible for us to connect with your perfect will. And Lord, we celebrate your goodness, we celebrate your faithfulness, we celebrate, O God, all that you are. And our cry to you these days, Lord, make us more and more like you. Chip off those areas in our lives that are extras that do not belong. Just chip off stuff so that we are exactly like you, representing you, living out life in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And thank you, Lord, for the grace of God to extend grace and mercy to one another. Amen. And to help each other make the right decisions. Not like the one who's trying to take a speck out of the eyes of another while they have a big post in their eyes. Lord, oh God, we remove this big pole, this big post off. We ask, oh God, for healing, for perfect vision, not so that we can become judgmental and critical of each other, but so, Lord, oh God, that we can encourage each other to be fully sold out to your divine will and purpose, honoring and worshiping you in spirit and in truth, blessing each other. Thank you for this grace. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be your holy name, Father, forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, bless you. It's no Wednesday Bible studies as well as you know. But Friday is prayer meeting. And please continue to pray for and support our blood on the 27th. God will move mightily in our midst so that we can impact our community. Invite people. Do everything you can to make it happen. I will believe that by next Sunday, the latest, We'll have some posters available. Yes? We're good? Okay. We're going to have some posters available that you can hand out to people and tell them to invite others. We want it to be a time of fishing. Fishing for souls that God can add to his church, and people coming and finding a place of peace in God. Amen? Amen. God will use you mightily. We're praying for that. We believe in God for that. That we all will have an amazing time. And secondly, the Christian Education Department is going to have a day camp, and they've asked us to support it. And let's give towards that. Plan on giving something extra, you know, to support the Christian Education Department. They're going to be inviting some very high-powered speakers.